Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, Colossians 3, 1 through 2 is a passage that we've been talking about a little bit and then alluding to a lot, and I want to end us with it today as we're finishing up our series on living for eternity. Today's message is entitled, Getting Vision for a Specific Inheritance. Now, if you're just joining with us, you might go, what the heck does that mean? We've just did 49 sessions. Today's session 50. We've done 50 sessions on what it looks like to live for eternity. What does it look like to live for an eternal reality? And the way I wanted to finish up this series today was to cast a vision, really, if I do it right today, you leave not feeling like, there, I studied it. You leave feeling like, oh my gosh, now I have something to go study. If I do my job today, it's actually to connect the dots that all that we've been talking about is a menu that now you have to figure out what you're going to order off that menu. That's my hope today. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says this, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. As we finish up today, I want to encourage us to walk out of this series going, I want to set my eyes, set my mind, set my heart on eternity. And now that I've got an idea of some of the things that are in eternity, now that we've done 50 sessions, and if you're like, 50, I think I heard 3. Well, go back. They're all online. You can find any of them you want. We've done 50 sessions on this. You've now been exposed to much, maybe most. I mean, it's all of it that I'm aware of. You've now been exposed to much of what the Word of God has to say about the subject of eternity. And now you can go, okay, so now that I understand what's up there, I understand what eternity looks and feels like, how do I set my mind on it? And specifically, what do I set my mind on? Because the subject today is to get a vision for your life in eternity, not for it to be good, but good how? You know, when we're talking to our kids, just kind of in a very secular standpoint about them growing up, we don't say, one day you'll have a job. We ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? We don't say, do you have a vision for having a job one day? Do you have a vision for having an eternity one day? What kind of eternity do you want to have? What do you want as your inheritance? What kinds of things in the age to come do you want to be real about your life? What do you want life to be like? And then to connect the dots, and that's where the study comes in. That's where the menu, now you've really got to meditate. What are the things that you want to be real about your life in the age to come? Now you've got to go on the journey of looking at what does the Word say about how to get to those things. Because here's the deal. We've been looking at the broad spectrum of eternal rewards, and all of them are real. Every one of the rewards that we've looked at for these however many months, they're all in the Word, they're rooted, they're real, and they're true. But they're rewards for specific life responses. So if I tell my kids, hey, guys, today, if you do all the chores, if you have a good attitude, whatever, at the end of the day, you get a reward, they have absolutely no idea what it is. But if I say, if you do these chores, you get suckers. If you have a good attitude, you get to go to the park. And if you are real nice to your mom and give her a foot massage, then I'll buy you a pony. Then they all know exactly what it is that the rewards are, the specific rewards, and they know the specific path to get to each one of those rewards. See, that's what we're talking about today, is the specific path to get specific things that have stirred your heart. Because I'm just guessing, which it might have been fun to do a survey. I'm nerdy in a lot of ways, but I'm not really good at surveys so much. But it might have been fun to do a survey, of course, across everybody that's been doing this series with us and asking the question, what were the things in this series that most caused your heart to come alive? I bet you we would have varied answers. And for some, they go, ooh, I really want my resurrected body to be like this. Oh, I love the idea of the resurrection. Or somebody might go, man, I love the idea of my house in heaven. You know, somebody else might go, oh, I love the idea of leadership with Jesus. You might have different highlight points that people are like, oh, I was that my heart really came alive about this or that. There are paths to get to those things, and the paths look different. See, that's the message today. All these eternal rewards that we're talking about, this is a vast subject. We just did 50 sessions, and I'm telling you, now you've graduated kindergarten. You are now ready for first grade, and some of you will choose to go on to it, and some of you will choose not to. You are at the beginning of a journey now, having been exposed to the menu of these different eternal rewards, to now go, what do I want my inheritance to look like? Because they won't all look the same. And the paths and the pursuits that we take in this life related to those eternal rewards will actually shift or change what we get. I just think there's going to be a lot of people that show up in heaven and they wind up and they're like, oh man, I really wish I had paid a little bit more attention to this and this. Like I thought if I just, you know, loved God, that was all there was to it. That's the start. That is the beginning. It's the most important part. But there are specific things you can do, specific desires that you have in your heart, some of those from the Lord, about pursuits that are eternal pursuits that you only get one chance to pursue. You get the opportunity for eternal pursuits in this temporal life. And if you pursue this, you wind up with this. If you pursue this, you wind up with this. You pursue nothing, you wind up with the t-shirt that says least. Because there will be those in the kingdom that are called least in the kingdom of God. Okay, well, here's the painful reality. This is the part that I'm like, I'm challenged by. You know, I've had to look at all this stuff too and do deep dives and like process and stuff. Here's the part I am most challenged by. There's 100 different paths I can take. And maybe I can take this path in this season, this pursuit, and in another season, this pursuit, and another season, this pursuit. But there's 100 different pursuits of eternal realities, and yet I only have however many years I have. So if the Lord comes back in 20 years, then I will have had a total of 62, okay? If he comes back in 50 years, I'll have a little bit more. I don't know how long it's going to be. If I die in a car accident next week, Lord, please don't let that happen, then I've got as many years as I just had. You don't have more years than you have. The Lord knows how many years you have, and you don't have more than that. You don't have more energy or time than you've got. You've just got as much as you've got. So you can only invest the 100% of you, and you don't ever get more than 100%. Meaning, you're going to actually have to neglect some eternal rewards. That's the part to me that I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't order everything off the menu in one meal. That's the part I'm challenged by. That's the part I'm hoping today will touch you in a way to get you thinking about this a little bit more carefully. Because it's one thing to go, don't you want rewards? Everybody says yes. But when we're asked the question, what rewards? Then we've got to think more critically. Then you've got to go, not just what rewards, but what lifestyle, what choices, what pursuits, what passions, what priorities will I put into place in my life to ensure those particular rewards? Otherwise, if I just keep loving Jesus and doing good stuff and loving God, something good's going to happen. But what something good? It's a gamble. Roll the dice, you don't know. But the word actually gives us clarity about if you do this, you get this. Meaning if you don't do that, you don't get it. And maybe don't do that isn't because you were bad, it's because you were busy doing this to get this instead. That's the part that I'm struck by. I'm like, you only got one life to live, you only got so much time, so much energy, so many brain cycles, the hamster can only spin so many times up there. And we've only got so much time and energy to invest in eternal rewards. What do I want my life in the age to come to be? I've got some decisions to make. But we can't even ask this question. I mean, this is a pretty deep question. I mean, in my opinion, it's about as deep as I go, okay? This is a deep question that we can't even propose until we've done a 50-part series on a subject. Because it doesn't even make sense to talk about it until you're at the end of, well, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and don't forget this. I mean, we have to have the whole menu in front of us to even come to this conundrum, to be struck with this, what do I want my eternity to be like? And That means my eternity won't have as much of this or this because I'm going to spend my life going after this. I'm challenged by this. So that's the point. I want to get you thinking. That's the point today. Just a quick review. My intention here is just to tell you a little bit of what we've already covered, just as a reminder. Because here I just said, we're ordering off of a menu, right? Well, I want to remind you of some of the menu items so you can kind of get your brain, you know, churning, stirring a little bit. Reviewing life in the next age, I'm just going to give you a few categories. And each category, I'll list off a few things that we've covered in past sessions to get you going, oh, yeah, oh, I want that, oh, I want that, oh, oh, wait, I want too many things. These things, oh, oh, Lord, this is challenging. See, because you only have so much time and energy to devote. You got to figure out what you're going to do. Again, I also think you've only got so much time and energy in this season. And 6 months, a year, or 3 years from now might be a new season. And maybe you invest your energies differently then. And maybe you wind up with, you know, some other different pursuit. Okay. First, roles in Earth's government. We talked a lot about that. We talked a good bit about roles on Earth in the age to come. Under Jesus' leadership, there will be kings of nations, national cabinets, regional and state governors, city mayors, city councils, chief of law enforcement, of education, city managers, construction managers, and 1,000 other roles of running Earth's government in the next age under Jesus' leadership. We talked a lot about that in past sessions. You might go, ooh, I really like that. But then there's also running heaven's government in heaven, not on earth. Those that will rule at the highest level, seated with Christ. Oh my gosh. Perhaps there will be those that oversee each floor of the New Jerusalem. It would make sense, kind of like there's governors on earth over various whatever states and whatever. What if there's floor governors, or who knows what the titles are. But it would make sense that each floor would have some level of leadership that looks different than the next floor. Each foundation of the city with 12, 12 foundations, that's 1,400 miles high. The person who oversees the call to worship. I just want to get real practical. Somebody's going to have that horn. Somebody. When it's time for everybody to gather on the sea of glass like crystal for a big old worship moment, somebody gets to blow the horn, if there's a horn. Trumpet, something, ring the bell, push the button. Somebody gets to do the thing that alerts all of heaven, worship time, worship time, worship time. And everybody gets to come. That's a pretty powerful role, if you ask me. I mean, you're the guy that pushes the button or blows the trumpet or does whatever. That's a pretty cool thing. Those in charge of founding new territories. Remember the Isaiah 9:7 of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. What about all the heavenly realms of things out there that are going to be new territories that are part of God's plan to colonize and in the age to come, ages to come? Okay, so we just touched on Earth's government. We talked on heaven's government. We also talked on extraterrestrial government. There's no end to what Jesus is going to do in the ages to come. We have got a bright future. Well, what about heaven's domestic life? Just in heaven, things that are going on in heaven. These are various aspects that we've covered, that we've talked about, but the hospitality industry in heaven, what's that like? What is it like to be a part of that? What about ushers for 2 billion people? I just think about our ushers over at the prayer room. It's like when we've got 2 billion people gathering on the sea of glass like crystal and all the administrative roles of pulling off a giant worship meeting. See, I think we think, no, when I get my resurrected body, I won't ever need anyone to ever help me with anything ever. Where did we get that? Like, that's not, there's nowhere that it says that. The Lord is very much into order and family and organization. And so if there's a gathering with 2 billion people and angels, there's going to need to be administration over those meetings. I mean, there's going to need to be ushers, and maybe I've got the wrong word, but there's going to need to be people helping with all of that. If we're eating, then there's trash. If we're eating, if I eat a chicken, then there's chicken pieces left over. Where does the chicken pieces go? There's going to be waste disposal. This is just real practical stuff. Now, you might go, my aspiration in life is to be the chicken disposal guy in the kingdom of heaven. Probably that's not your aspiration, but it will be somebody's assignment. Those who are greatest, there'll be many who are called great in this age, who'll be called least in the next. Those who are least in this age will be called great in the next, many of them. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, the garbage guy. And it probably won't have anything to do with their earthly occupation. They were a garbage guy in this age, so they're a garbage guy in the next. I don't think that's going to work at all. But there's going to be real aspects of domestic life that somebody's going to get tasked with. Somebody. So I want to kind of paint that picture too. But Psalm 84:10 says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. What about doorkeepers in the house of the Lord in heaven? Doorkeepers, that's not a bad gig. Like to be one that, just this humble role, it's servant-hearted enough, but you get to be connected to the reality of the temple of God, in the reality of night and day worship around God's throne and how all that works forever. Like somebody's going to get to be that, get to do that. Somebody's going to have to keep inventory of all the stuff that's coming in, all the construction managers and all these different things that are going on, 1,000 other roles like this, just heaven's domestic life. I want you to think about your standard of living. You remember Matthew 6, 19 through 20? We can put that verse up. And thank you, slides back there, for being so helpful. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. I want you to think about the standard of living. We think about that in this age. But we were told by Paul, remember the first verse I read us, don't think about this life, think about the one to come. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. But you can use earthly concepts, earthly principles to imagine your forever reality, like your standard of living. So I want you to think about this. In this age, it is frequently a common priority, we think about our standard of living. If I can help it, I'd like to live not in a cardboard box. Once I've gotten out of a cardboard box, it'd be nice to be in an apartment. Once we're in an apartment, we try to get into a house. Once we're in a house, we try to get into a whatever house. Same thing with our paychecks. Originally, first job working at Sonic, not particularly glorious. I wanted out of there as fast as I could, so I moved up to ice cream. That's right. Baskin-Robbins. I went from Sonic Burgers to Baskin-Robbins. I got a little pay raise. I was with my friends, and it was cooler in there because nobody was flipping burgers and making hot. It was so much greater. My standard of living increased significantly, okay? Just going from burgers to Baskin-Robbins, okay? We're constantly thinking about our standard of living. That's not wrong, but we want to put it into perspective about the things and the age to come. And look, Jesus actually, he catered to this concept. He said, I actually like that you're thinking that way. He said this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but do in fact store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do that on purpose so that your standard of living in heaven will be better. Huh? Because that's what wealth does. Wealth impacts standard of living. That's what wealth does. That's the whole point. Otherwise, if you have wealth, who cares? Like, what is it? What does it do? It's just pretty. I have all this pretty in my back room. So what? We all do. The ground's made out of gold. What do you want from me? Like, it has to mean something. And it does. It equals standard of living. You might want to start asking yourself the question, what do I want my eternal life to look like? And go, how do I increase my standard of living in heaven? What is the path? What are the processes I need to do in this life to actually increase my standard of living in the next age? But that might be a very different pursuit than the one we just looked at related to governmental leadership. Because all the paths for governmental leadership, it's actually a completely different set of rules on if you do this, then you get this. This is crazy. See, because the age to come and the ages to come, it's going to look very similar to how things are now. There's variance. Some people are really good at this and not particularly good at this. Some people have really excelled in this field, and this field over here is not one that they've ever heard of. There's going to be some similarities there. It's not like when we graduate and we're with the Lord that all of a sudden everyone is omniscient, omnipresent, omni-all things. That's not how it works. You get the greatest, most incredible upgrade, but it also says you'll always continue to increase. Well, how can you increase if you already got 100% fullness of understanding of all things? You can't, because you don't. You're going to wind up with the most incredible upgrade, a glorious body, a glorious reality, and yet there'll always be more things to learn and grow in and understand and people to meet. This is part of what life will look like. Next point, personal attributes. Now, I don't have all this figured out, but I just want to say it this way. On the earth, the Lord made us different. Height, Andy was telling me about skin tones earlier. My skin tone is officially called pasty white, okay? That's my official skin tone. We have different heights, we have different strengths, we have different abilities, we have different intellects. Some people are book smart, but not clever. Some people are clever, but not strong. Some people are strong, but they can't do math. And some people are just trying to find our way. What are we good at? Lord help. We're all good at different stuff. That makes us unique. How boring it would be and how not like the Lord it would be that when we come into the next age, we're all just automatic robots and we're all completely the same. See, that's not how it will be. God made us unique on purpose. And even aspects, and this is the part that I don't have fully figured out, but even aspects of those uniquenesses and differences, strength, intellect, understanding, all that strength means, because strength just doesn't mean just physical strength. Strength means 100 things, will vary in the age to come. There'll be personal attributes that will vary. I just think about the joy of humor. And how some people are funny, and some people, that's just not their thing. But I like, humor is awesome. Do you know humor isn't going anywhere? God invented humor. Of course, godly humor, but I don't even like to preface it because the enemy stole everything. He stole sexuality, he stole humor, he stole finances, he stole everything, and he twisted everything. So humor at its core was God's invention and is great. So is money, so is everything. At its core, before it gets twisted. All these things are good. When we're in the age to come, there are going to be people that are funnier than other people. Well, if we can get on board with that, there are going to be people that are smarter than other people. There are going to be people that are more clever. There are going to be people that are more prone to understand certain aspects of the arts or of industry. There are going to be people that understand certain sciences, just like in this age. And the Lord's going to utilize all those things. But here's the thing. I think the Word of God actually gives us permission to break from our earthly pattern. That if I'm bad at biology in this life, and you better believe I'm bad at biology, I could actually do things. I could pursue God in such ways that perhaps I could be great at biology in the age to come. Let me just read some verses. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you've suffered a little while, now this is talking about this age, that's the little while. After you've suffered a little while, you know, your 80 years or whatever you get, will himself restore you. Now God is going to restore you. And when he does that, he will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Well, this is interesting, because what does it look like in this age? What if they were weak in this age? It just said that they were going to be made strong. What does strength look like in the next age for a person that was weak in this age? And when strength doesn't just mean physical strength, but strength could be intellect. Strength could be ability to understand, you know, certain aspects of life. What if strength means a million things? What if the Lord could make us strong in the next age in a way that we've been weak in this age? Of course he can. Of course he can. And it's not just talking about your physical strength. Romans 8:5, those that live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What if the Spirit desires things that are very different than what we desire? Of course, we would all say amen. In the next age. What if the Spirit desires things in the next age that are very different than the things that he's desiring in this age, very different than our natural understanding? What if part of our pursuit was, in the next age, I want to be incredibly dedicated to the things the Spirit desires? What would you get to participate in then that might be very different than what you participated in this life? That's a very different future, potentially. I'm just saying, all the rules are up in the air depending on how we will respond to this invitation, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. I kind of wonder what rules are still in play. Like, I just wonder how far will you let me go, Lord? What will you not give me? We want to arrange our lives according to what we want. So just a few little advertisement points. Pursuing meekness and humility. By pursuing meekness, just a real quick reminder on meekness. Meekness, best definition I can think of is strength restrained. Power restrained, authority restrained. So I've got it's a horse with a bridle on it. This horse is huge, powerful, and awesome, and could destroy anything, anybody around it. But it's got this, it's under restraint, that instead of operating in the full strength of what it could do, it's bridled. And instead of just whatever, tromping around, it's got this bridle on it, and it's actually under restraint. It's under the control of even a lesser size, you know, lesser strength person. So you get this person riding on a horse. It's like, that horse could destroy you. But that horse has got power that's restrained. That's meekness. Meekness is you have authority to act in a harsh way, in a big way, in a strong way, and you choose not to. Meekness is having, you know, all this power, but not using it to lord over others. Being careful with that. Well, if you want to pursue that, you want to figure out what the ways that you're strong are and not lord it over people around you. Well, that's actually different than pursuing humility. In humility, it's very similar, but it's not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. But it's not so much about restraining, it's actually about acting. And the idea of acting in humility, responding in humility, that we would treat people as better than ourselves, well, that's a pretty intense pursuit. If you were to make that your life's pursuit, you would be spending a lot of energy pursuing humility. But then Jesus also encourages us to pursue righteousness. Well, pursuing righteousness is actually different than pursuing humility. Pursuing humility is kind of passive. Pursuing righteousness is this aggressive effort to crucify my flesh, to live according to the kingdom, to lift up every aspect of my life as an offering, to live in righteousness, to live submitted. That's a life pursuit. That's a very clear, like focused life pursuit. Then we've got pursuing the fasted lifestyle. Well, we've looked at that, you know, for a number of sessions. We talked about praying, fasting, and giving. All of that about a voluntary weakness that we give to the Lord. Pursuing the fasted lifestyle is different than pursuing righteousness. It's different than pursuing humility. And then pursuing intimacy with the Lord is another angle. I'm not trying to give you all the things on the menu. That's what the last 50 sessions are. I'm just trying to help you to realize there's a lot of ways I can go here. There are a lot of things that I could pursue. Here's my questions to you, just kind of some little like ponder moments. I'll say them slow and dramatic pauses. Pursue rewards that correspond with the destiny you want. Do you want a position in government? What kind of resurrected body do you want? What kind of lifestyle do you want? What do you want God to say about you? These are all different. We got to recognize our limitations. Because you're not going to be able to, let's say there's 100 different things you could pursue. I don't know the real number, but we're just going to go with 100. Let's say there's 100 things. You cannot pursue all 100 things with 100% of your effort. Simple math. And maybe you go, I just want 1% of all of it. I'm gonna give 1% to this, 1% to this, 1%. Okay, that's your choice. Do that. Somebody goes, I'm going to give 100% of my effort to this, and I'm going to be bad at the other 99. Okay, I mean, I don't know that that's really going to work real well, but maybe. Somebody's like, I'm going to pick five of them, and I'm going to do 20% effort. See, I want you thinking like this. I want you to have this conversation with the Lord, your soul, and the Bible, and do your own math and come up with some answers here, because I don't think it's enough that we've studied this subject for 50 sessions if we don't end it with a call to action. Now, what do you do with this? What do I do about 50 sessions on eternal rewards and living for eternity? How do I make this practical? And the best thing I can tell you is, in my opinion, the best thing you can do is to consider this series that we've done just your introduction. Now you can actually begin to study it. That's how I think that you ought to be looking at this in order to be able to try to factor how you pull this off. Also, here's another just interesting point as I was just kind of processing this. Some of these pursuits are, they're opposing to other pursuits, at least on the front end. Let me give you a for instance. To pursue the fasted lifestyle, to fast a lot, okay, to be simple about it, to fast a lot, makes you physically weak and often grumpy. A weak, grumpy person can't do many of the other pursuits with near the strength. So by choosing to pursue this area, you are going to actually weaken yourself to your ability to pursue this area. Oh, this is challenging, Lord. Wait, I thought I could just have it all. No, just like on earth, you got to make choices. You can have some. Now, you can have as much as you want from your 100%, but once your 100% is spent, that's what you got. So there's actually certain pursuits that by pursuing this, I'm actually setting myself up to really not be that great at this other one. Wow. That's really challenging. I just want to advertise the concept for those of you who have gone through either Mike Bickle's Power of Focus Life or somebody else's. The concept of the power of living a focused life where you're thinking about your time, your money, your energy, your relationships, your words. You're thinking about how you invest those, and it really mostly comes down to schedule and money, mostly. It's your priorities, and schedule and money is the biggest portion of your power of a focused life idea. I want to encourage you, for those of you that have maybe not ever done that or it's been a while, you want to get good at living a focused life related to your time investment. Are you wasting time? That's time you're never going to get back. Are you wasting emotional energy? Are you wasting money? That's money you'll never get back. Like, live focused in relationship to all of this. And then the last thing that I want to throw out to us, and worship team, you can come on up. Last thing I want to just encourage us with this is that intercession forever moves God's heart. We are loved by God, and He has given us the gift of intercession. And intercession means this. You can ask God to do stuff. And if you ask Him to do stuff, there's stuff He'll do that He otherwise isn't going to do. That is the most mind-blowing thing to me. When I think about that God would actually do or not do certain things because I asked or didn't ask. It's bizarre to me, and yet that's how He runs His kingdom. That's how He operates the kingdom of God. He wants partnership for us to pray. So here's my parting thoughts for you as you go on this journey of what do you do next? First, pray that the Lord would even highlight in your own heart, I don't even know what I want. Now I'm more confused. I thought I liked this series until this last one. I don't know what the heck I want. I'm so confused. Great. That's a great starting point. Ask the Lord what you want. Lord, help me, give me wisdom to even know myself, to even know what do you want for me? What's a better pursuit? There have been so many times in my life that the Lord said, do this thing over here, and that was not what I wanted. I wanted to do this thing. Many of you heard me tell the story. I wanted to buy a jet ski. The Lord said, buy a house. I said, I don't have enough money for a house. I have enough money for a jet ski. The Lord said, I'll give you the house for the jet ski money. Like, I'll have to make it work. But I don't want a house. I want a jet ski. I'm so glad I got the house. The house was a better deal. man, 24-year-old Brad didn't know what he was talking about, okay? There are many times in life where the Lord says, this is better for you than this, and on the front end, it doesn't feel that way. We're just always wrong and dumb. Go with what he says. He's smarter. You'll always thank him later and thank yourself for going along with it. Start asking the Lord, Lord, what's better for me to want? God, next point of intercession, give me grace to pursue it, because you're telling me this is better for me, or I see this in the Word. I know it's good. I don't feel like I've got the grace to pull that off. I feel weak and unable. I feel like I can't pull that off. So ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord for focus. Start interceding and going, God, I need focus to stay focused. I need help from heaven to stay focused, because I'm all over the place, and then bills come in and life happens and friends and relationships and difficulties and job, and I just get all over the place and I lose my way, and I find myself 6 months, a year down the road, I haven't thought about eternity for a year. Ask the Lord to help you focus. Ask the Lord to help you align your own life to the path that you feel like that you're saying that you want. So if you're saying, Lord, I want these rewards, and these rewards are related to humility, then ask the Lord for help to align your life to be in humility so that you can get those rewards. And then I'll just throw this last one in there. Ask the Lord for the rewards straight up. He's a good father. He gives good gifts to his kids. That doesn't change just because we're talking about eternity. Why not ask the Lord directly for certain rewards? Certain things that you're just like, Lord, I really want that. Why don't you start pulling on fathers, on Abba's heartstrings, and asking him for those specific things? I think the subject of our prayer life can impact this whole thing in the greatest way. And I even go back to the verse that we started with. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. How do we help set our mind? How do we engage in the conversation? We pray. My hope today as we part is that this series has been encouraging, challenging, and that today, as we wrap up, that you walk away going, God, I need to get a vision for my future, not just my earthly future. I want to get a vision for my future in heaven and what my life is going to look and feel like there and then. And I want to encourage you, go on the journey and ask the Lord about it.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.